You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Nick Kunze is Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth. Nick, thank you so much for your time this evening. While that decision is in, the repo rate remains unchanged. Is this something you were expecting?
Yeah, good evening to your listeners. Were I expecting it? No, I think most people were, it was forecasted no change. They're going to hold it steady. But I think most of us hoped that there would be even a quarter point cut, given what the Fed did last night and given what other central banks have done this week. I think Mr. Kanyagi and his team had an opportunity to cut and they didn't. So, a little bit disappointed, but I think the analysts did expect unchanged.
Mm-hmm. And how, if at all, did this speak to the market in answering the question, I guess, of how we fared today?
We were actually a bit of a choppy session, and when the governor started speaking at 3 o'clock, it was obviously the rand was all over the place. But we actually managed to finish off in the green, very, very slightly. If I look at, 5 basis points up on the all share top 40 was pretty much the same. I guess the one to look at was actually the rand. The rand got a bit of a bid. It's trading at 17.36. And to your point, was it expected? Well, look at the bond markets. The bond markets actually were unchanged on the day. So I guess it was. So bit of a sideways day, but it must be said as well that it has been quite a busy week with central bank decisions. So I guess lots of news flow to take in.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at company news. Coca-Cola reports abound that they plan to cut jobs, right? So you've got Coca-Cola, Ford Motor Company, Glencore, Goodyear, South Africa. It reads like a bloodbath, or is that a bit dramatic?
I guess depending what side of the fence you are. With South Africa already having the unexpected accolade of the world's worst employment, more job letting, no, it's a disaster. So it really is not a good story. And again, it speaks to a domestic economy which is really, really struggling. I saw our governor, put the forward-looking GDP growth at over 1%. I think that is wishful thinking, because if you look at what's happening on the ground, to your point, jobs are being lost left, right, and centre. And it's not just the tariff story as well. It's the fact that they're operating in a country with really anemic growth.
Sure. I just saw something a few moments ago that President Donald Trump and Xi Jinping of China will be having a telephone discussion on Friday at least. But maybe we can take a look at his trip to the United Kingdom, right? So what's come out today is that NVIDIA says it will invest some $5 billion in U.S. chip maker Intel, that stock jumping up. What story does this tell us? What's the bigger picture here?
Well, the bigger picture is, I think it's, America's is certainly under the current Trump administration is certainly very much pro-America and inward looking, isn't it? So, typically, Intel was one of those tech companies that couldn't compete with Taiwan Semiconductor, couldn't compete with the other players, even the likes of Samsung. It battled. And then, of course, the American government took quite a big stake in it about a month ago. And this is following on from that. And I think it does speak to an America that is looking after its own, and they want to build their own chip champions. They don't want to rely on China and the like. So to be a fly on the wall on that Friday conversation will be very interesting.
Absolutely. Meanwhile, in Beijing, NVIDIA is accused of violating anti-monopoly laws. What's that adage about two masters? Where do you see this going, trying to please both sides?
NVIDIA's got a very, very, tricky balancing act, as you said. Jensen Huang has done a good job so far. The problem you've got with operating an environment like the current America as we see it is the goalposts keep on changing. Certainly NVIDIA were structuring their chips to be more China friendly. And that's the sort of go ahead he got from Mr. Trump to sell them to China. And now you're getting a situation where, they want to develop back at home. And I think he's probably realized that. And China has come out and said they're not going to be. I think the news story that broke this morning was that China instructed their bigger players not to purchase NVIDIA chips. So, the story is fluid and it changes from day to day. But overall, it just leads to more protectionism, I think.
Yeah, we saw Jensen Huang actually at the US-UK pomp and ceremony festivities. And
quite news a few of them there, yes.
in white bow ties and all. So we've seen that the US and UK have struck what they've called a tech trade partnership. What does this tell you?
I mean, I think, I'm laughing cynically because I think everything that come that Mr. Trump's audience tells him what exactly like he likes to hear. I mean, how many trillions were the Saudis going to invest in America and so on? And we've yet to see a single investment so far. They're all just pledges. I think we're seeing pretty much the same for the United Kingdom. Look, it's no taking away from the fact there's a long-term sort of trade relations going back, but this is a very different United Kingdom as well. They're outside of Europe. They're not part of the European Union. They're battling with their own domestic issues with debt and the like. So, yeah, I mean, say what you want and flatter Mr. Trump, but when it comes down to it, it's a very different story.
Because, Nick Khonza, I do wonder this AI. What has been termed rather an AI race, right? More so when we're talking about NVIDIA, we're talking about China, America, with the trade tariffs as well. What is the story of artificial intelligence and this race that we need to understand? And why is it important, I guess?
I guess it's important because it is effectively the next sort of revolution that we are probably living through. And now we're seeing we've gone through the dot-com situation back, 30 odd years ago, 25 years ago. But, this is clearly we're seeing a change that's happening in front of our eyes. And ultimately, and if you actually see the jobless numbers that have come out recently in America as case in point, America's GDP is still continuing to turn over. The country's economy is still growing. The earnings have been unbelievable the last earnings season, but yet they're laying off jobs. Now, what does that tell you? Well, more and more businesses are becoming more productive without human beings on the other side. So, yeah, I mean, it's a very worrying development, but I mean, change, I guess that's the old saying, change is inevitable, and we're witnessing it as we speak.
And the mother of all innovation or is change, I guess, which then speaks to what are we going to do? And on that, when we take a look at emerging markets, I don't even know how to ask this, right? Because it's almost as if we're looking at this happen to us and not by us having a contribution. Is that a fair assessment?
Again, I think it depends which side you want. Look, I will say, I mean, let's spin the positive here. MTN out with the story earlier on this week about, I think Bloomberg broke the story about investing in hyperscalers and AI on the continent. We have got on Africa, we've got the youth dividend, right? We've got the youngest population, one of the fastest growing populations across the continent, and that should be a beneficiary of the AI revolution, you would think. There's just been a lack of investment, so that is changing too. So, I mean, the positive spin, I don't think it's a bad thing what's happening from the emerging market side. I will, pivot away slightly also with what you've seen with the dollar this year, down 10% on the dollar index. That benefits emerging markets and benefits places like South Africa. We've seen what the rand is doing. So overall, there's a couple of positives to be taken from these changes that are happening.
I guess because we also heard from the Reserve Bank governor saying that the global economy appears resilient so far, with commodity prices up, oil prices remaining contained. So these conditions are favorable for emerging markets like South Africa, he says.
That is. I mean, that is true. And look, and we actually have the sort of a reasonable distinction amongst the emerging market sort of basket is not having a lot of dollar-denominated debt either. So that does go in our favor. So, I mean, look at the all share. I mean, look, the economy is not always the market and vice versa. But we're one of the best performing emerging markets of the year as well. So it does favor us. There are certainly tailwinds. And I guess, enjoy it while it lasts, because at the moment there does seem to be a few positives. And we often in South Africa, we're inherently negative. If I can take one thing away from this call, there's a lot of positives this year.
I'll hop onto that positive vibe of yours. So I also heard the Reserve Bank governor saying that to reach a healthy growth rate, we will require much higher investment levels than we are achieving now. What does that mean?
I mean, it means as simple as it is. We need investment in South Africa. We need the businesses. Most of the big businesses in their last set of earnings season a month or so ago were all talking about a bit more of a favorable outcome. Transnet seems to be back on track. We all know the story with load shedding, but all this does require more investment, and it does require a lot of foreign direct investment as well, because a lot of the sort of, I guess, that's going to move the needle is foreign direct investment coming in, and we need to make it an attractive place to invest. I mean, we all know the story about the deteriorating infrastructure, but we need that investment coming in as well. I will say this as well: the stronger the rand does what it's doing, the easier it is for something like South Africa to raise debt in this environment. Our bonds are very attractive. I think the longer that continues, we've seen net flows from the foreigners buying our bonds. Recently, there's some net flows into the equity markets too. So we're moving in the right direction. So, the governor's hopefully talking and seeing it happening in front of them.
Nick, thank you so much for your contribution this evening. Nick Kunze is Portfolio Manager at Sanlam Private Wealth.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.